Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Ephesians 3:20, and I wear a lot of these scriptures out, but I discovered that I've been reading a lot of this stuff for, next week will be 43 years since I got saved, and I've been reading all this stuff for 43 years, and I'm just finding out now that I'm just now beginning to understand what some of it means. Anybody else got that problem besides me? Anyway, Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us." We're working on our thinking. We're working on our lives. I believe God's. I'm hearing really good reports. I just heard of a cancer getting healed, and there's some more that are getting healed. I got stopped in the grocery store yesterday, and a couple that they don't go to church here, but I had prayed with them a while back, and the husband had cancer, and anyway, he was getting ready to go through some treatments and stuff, and anyway, long story short, God has used those treatments. He's in remission now. He's well. And anyway, we're standing in the middle of Walmart yesterday praising God because He's good. So why don't you just give God some praise? Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is that's going on with you, He's already done what He needs to do if you can just learn to receive it. He's already touched you, and I'm believing Him to come in His power and just do big things in your life. He says here He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so I just wonder, what are you asking? What are you thinking? Well, Hank, I don't want to ask for much. Well, you're probably getting that and a little bit more. Huh? So why don't you start mentally trying to take all that humble pie stuff and set it over to the side there and realize you got a God that wants to bless you. Huh? He doesn't want to just do little things in your life. He wants to do those little things. How many glad He does little things? But He wants to do big things also. And so what are you asking for? What are you thinking? How are you thinking? He said, I want to do exceedingly abundantly more than that. In other words, I want to do more and bigger things in your life than you can imagine. I want to do bigger things in your life than you can even think about. Now, I don't know about you, but I can think about some stuff, huh? Huh? Can you? Yeah. Well, I don't want to think about too much. Yeah, you ought to think about a whole bunch. Because He's thinking about more than that. I love Ephesians 2, and I do this all the time, but in Ephesians 2, He says, "And He raised us up together, and He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace by being kind to us." You hear that? He says, I want to show, I'm telling you what, His grace is big. How many glad for His grace? Huh? That's what we were talking about a while ago. Hey, He has qualified us. Huh? He sent Jesus to that cross, and when Jesus paid that price and said, "It's finished," He looked down through the ages and said, "Hank, I just qualified you. Kenny, I just qualified you. Kim, I just qualified you. Put your name in there. I just qualified you." Whew, that's powerful, folks. So that He could, you know, we get the idea that He's a mean God, but He says, so He can show us how rich that grace is through his kindness to us. That means he wants to be good to me. He wants to be kind to me. I'm glad he wants to be better to me than I have been to him at times, aren't you? But I'm working on it, aren't you? How many here's work in progress? Now y'all can loosen up a little bit. We're just going to talk for a few minutes, and then when I see I'm running out of time, I'll let you go home. How about that? But I want you to be closer to God when you leave than you were when you came in. I want us all to be thinking just a little bit different when we leave than we were when we came in. Because I'm learning that it's our thinking that's either accelerating us or holding us back. He said, hey, through what Jesus did, he can show us all his goodness. He can make all that stuff happen in your life, in my life. Oh, and you know what the good thing is? You know what the good thing about it is? It's by grace, not by works. It's by grace. In other words, it's his doings. He did it. Well, I just don't know. I just don't know if I deserve it. Yeah, you do deserve it. He did it. Wasn't your idea. So quit trying to do stuff to get him to like you more. He already likes you. You're already his favorite. You need to get a revelation that John had. If you read John's writing, every time he talks about the disciples and the apostles, he talks about himself. He calls himself the one that Jesus loved. Yeah, read through that. Every time he says, and the disciple that Jesus loved, he's talking about himself. You're the one Jesus loves. Everybody say that. You hadn't said that in a long time. I'm the one Jesus loves. Come on. Everybody say that. I'm the one Jesus loves. Say that enough times, you'll start believing it, won't you? Oh, God's so good. He wants to do so many things. You know, and so often we just apply that scripture to salvation only. And hey, that I'm glad I'm going to heaven. How many glad you're going to heaven? Who here's not going to heaven? If you just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I make you the Lord of my life. I give you my life. I want to live for you. Now you're going to heaven. You just receive what he did. But it's more, folks, than just going to heaven. The exceeding, in the ages to come, he could show us that exceeding greatness of his riches, or that richness of his glory, that he could show us how big that grace of his is, that he could show us his goodness. Jesus made a statement when he came. He said, I came to get back what the devil stole. And that's hard for us to think that way, because it's not just getting us to go to heaven. He said, I came back to get what the devil stole. When the devil showed up, health was stolen, prosperity was stolen, all the things that pertained to life was stolen, and Jesus said, I came to get them back for you. Amen. I came to put an end to the devil's power over you. Came to secure that place with God for me. Came to also take care of my health, my healing. He came also to deliver me from every area that the enemy has me in bondage. He came to set us free. The Bible says that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know what that means? It means you're not under the rule and the control of the devil anymore. Now you can still live for him, and you can still, if you want to live for the devil, hey, he'll still rule in your life. But you see, we made a change. I'm not saying you got everything perfect yet. I'm just saying we made a change. We made a shift. Hold it. I'm not identifying with that old stuff anymore. I'm identifying with God. I want you, God wants you to live in his best. Let me say that again. God wants you to live in his best. You know, one of the main reasons that we're not living in all God has for us, all He's planned for us, is because we settle for less. Jesus said, as your faith is, so be it. How come some people love God and they hardly ever get sick? They seem to walk blessed. They seem to walk in prosperity. How come there's some other people that love God with all their heart, but they're fighting just one battle after another, one crisis after another? You know, when this is all over, both of those folks are going to heaven. But when it's all over, they're going to see that life for this one was a little different than life for that one. Why? Well, because how you think, how you believe, is how you'll be. And so I'm hoping that today we can begin to shift that a little bit more. We're changing our thinking, right? 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 Okay, don't make me work so hard and I'll get done here real quick. We're changing our thinking. We want to start thinking like God thinks. And if you'll settle for less, I promise the devil will make sure you live with less. Sometimes we're influenced more by the world than we are by God's Word. We're all guilty of that. We're more influenced by how we grew up. We're more influenced by what we've been through. We're more influenced by family history and what we've been around and what's happened to us all our life than we are what the Word says about us. But when we start finding out this truth, we start finding out how God feels about us. We start finding out all these things He wants to do for us. It raises our sights. We start to think different. Solomon said, as a person, as you think in your heart, that's the way you'll be. Sometimes we just accept too much as the norm. Well, let me say it this way. You don't have to settle for just the normal. You don't have to settle for just the natural, because God's supernatural. And He wants to do supernatural things in our life every day. He wants to do things in our life that are far beyond anything we've prayed or believed or thought about yet. And sometimes you just got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. If we want to decide to settle for less, God will still love us just as much. We'll still go to heaven when we die. We just won't enjoy the trip as much. Settle for less. What are you talking about, Hank? Well, I'm just saying, you know, we're trained to just kind of live in mediocrity. We're trained to, you know, from the world. The world is a fallen world, and the devil's in control of all that, and he causes all these things to happen in our lives. And if we respond to all those things, then we think little, we think different. I don't know about you, but me growing up, you know, we didn't have a whole lot. Growing up, we didn't, you know, I mean, some people think not having a whole lot is not having two or three cars or, you know, not, but I'm talking, we didn't have hardly any food. And I remember growing up that way. What I'm trying to say is because of that, I catch myself thinking little. I better save that. I better not use that yet. I find myself, how many when you know, of course, I always look for a bargain, don't you? I mean, if I go buy something, I compare the prices, and you know, I have a tendency to go to the cheapest price. How about you? Huh? I mean, I have a tendency to do that, but you know what I've learned in the last few years? I've learned that sometimes the one that costs a little bit more is a lot better. Not always, My point is that if that's my mentality to settle for less, then I always, you know, I always use the stuff that somebody else used up. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes God wants you to be the head and not the tail. Sometimes he'd like to give you something new. Sometimes he'd like to give you something different, something bigger. We have a tendency. See, what I'm saying is, if you want to live in the goodness of God and all that he has for you, it doesn't just happen automatically. You got to do it on purpose. You got to be a little bit aggressive about it. You got to go after it. You got to use your faith. You got to fight the fight of faith sometimes. You know, Matthew, Jesus said, it's recorded in Matthew, he said, you gotta knock and the door will be opened. He said, you gotta ask and then you'll receive. He said, you gotta seek me and you'll find me. Sometimes we just have a tendency just to kind of kick back and say, it's gonna all work out. Well, it is going to work out, but you know, sometimes the devil has more of a hand in working it out than God does, and it's all how I think. Now, listen, I'm not saying that we're supposed to be greedy and we're supposed to always go after, you know, be concentrating and focusing on prosperity and focusing on wealth and focusing on all that stuff. But I'm saying that our focus ought to be on God. But if our focus is on God, then he wants us to have good things. He wants to bless us. Guess what I'm saying for is if you're shooting for nothing, you'll probably get it. I've told the story about the little boy out in the backyard shooting his BB gun up in the air, and a guy comes out and says, "Well, what are you doing shooting that up in the air?" He said, "I'm shooting at the moon." He said, "Well, silly, don't you know you can't hit the moon?" And the little boy looked at him and said, "Yeah, but I'm getting closer to it than you are." So I just decided a while back that I wasn't going to believe for nothing anymore. I was going to believe for something. We've got such a gift of faith that I ought to shoot for something. If I'm not shooting, then I'll get what I'm aiming at. But see, God's given us a gift. He's given us his word. He's given us the gift of faith. And we can use this faith of God to create things in our life. The lost world out here doesn't have a problem believing that. They don't know why it's working for them. Think about this. You know that everything in existence today came as a result of somebody's thinking? Talking your suits, your shirts, your shoes, your... Are you hearing me? The seat you're sitting in, the building, the lights, the air conditioner. Everything in existence came because somebody started thinking about it, and then they figured out a way to make it happen. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? What God wants us to realize is that every one of us has that creative ability in us. And sometimes we just settle for less. You know, I talked about it, and I would say probably the majority of us in here come from that side where, you know, we didn't have just everything. And, of course, most of us were so happy we didn't realize what we didn't have. But we didn't have a whole lot of stuff, and it was hard. And so we come from that mentality. But, you know, you take somebody that grew up And on the other side, grew up in the wealth and grew up having anything they wanted and everything they wanted, they think a whole different way. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they don't have to. You don't have to be spoiled to think that way. I thought of Donald Trump's kids. Now, do you think they ever one day in their life worried about if they were going to have something to eat or not? But you also look at the character that's in them, and they're not spoiled. They just think different. Do you think they come up on any situation that they don't know that they can get the funds to take care of that? Do you think they ever get a bill in the mail and they wonder, how in the world am I going to pay this? Are you hearing me? I'm talking about mentalities. What we got to begin to understand is we come from a mentality of God. We come from a mentality of the King of Kings. We come from a mentality of we're created in the image of the one that created all this. And he said, Hank, I've given you the ability to create. Well, then I ought to be creating stuff. I ought to be dreaming about stuff. I ought to be thinking about stuff. When I see you need something, I ought to be thinking about how that can happen in your life. I ought to be trying to use this faith and this ability to touch people's lives, to bless them. See, I've been thinking for a long time, how are we going to get that big house? And I want it to be a nicer house than what we were first thinking. See, I'm thinking, how are we going to get that new car? When I know you're believing God for something, I just automatically go and start believing that way and start thinking that way. That's what God's put in us. That it's really an excitement. It's really an expectation. It's really a hope. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, or the faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of the things that we have a confident expectation about getting. It just excites me when I see the lights start coming on in your lives, and they might not come on this morning, or they might come on and you might not notice that they're on yet. But after today, you'll think about some things different. You'll believe God about some things different. You'll talk to God different. It's all how we're thinking. When we renew our mind with this word, when we get our heart so full of this word, it starts coming out of our mouth. It starts producing stuff in our lives. And people around look at us and go, how's all that happening? And you just have to smile because you don't know. You just know it's God. You just know it's Him. God wants the best for you. Jeremiah 29, he said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil. They're thoughts to give you an expected end. The NIV says His thoughts give us hope and a future. Now, the thing about when God spoke this through Jeremiah, when He spoke that to him, Israel was devastated. The city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. The people, the Israelites had been taken captive by Egypt. Now understand this. These folks didn't have anything. They didn't have any thoughts. They weren't thinking thoughts of peace and thoughts of hope. But my point was this, is right in their most difficult time, God came to prophesy His goodness into their life. Right in the most hardest, one of the hardest times in their life, God came to speak His life, His word into their life. He said, my thoughts for you are good. My thoughts about you are going to bring you some hope, and they're going to bring you a future. How foreign that must have sounded to them. It's in your time of darkness. It's in your time of battle when God speaks His goodness. It's in your darkest times when He'll come through for you. It's in those darkest times that you need to use your faith. How many know you don't need much faith when you're on the mountaintop and everything's going good and you're whistling and... Oh, but boy, when the attack gets on, when the enemy gets in there, you're in the valley. That's the time where you either fear evil or you don't fear evil. Oh, but when you know He's with you, when you know He's with you, you might not like it. You understand, I'm not telling you a way where you never have any problems and you never have any difficulties and you never have any hard times and you never get sick or anything. I'm not telling you that because we have an enemy. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy. But our God has taken us out of His control, His dominion. All we have to do to switch camps is use our faith. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. But I know you, God. I know you. See, and when you learn to do this, you just mentally shift all of a sudden. You just mentally know when you start talking, and it's okay to go to God and talk about your need. It's okay to go to God and even cry. It's okay to go to God and gripe and complain. But before you leave there, switch it. They're after me, God. They're after me. David's in a cave. They're after me. They're after me. But he ends up saying, yeah, but I will praise you because you always deliver me. I will love you because you're the God of... You understand what I'm saying? Now you'll start to catch yourself that way. Every time I start to catch myself whining now, and sometimes I just go ahead and whine because how many know whining feels good? I like to feel good, don't you? So I just go ahead and whine, and it's just like God says, go ahead. That's okay, go ahead. And then I'll catch myself and I'll go, but you, God, you love me. You care about me. You already paid a price for this. You're already working in my behalf. You've already got those angels doing warfare for me. Hallelujah. How can I stay down? If you love me that much. Nothing's changed out here, but something's changed in here. Oh, I wanted to read you something here. It says, they shall call upon me. So then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray. Now we were still in Jeremiah. We were Jeremiah 11, where he said, my thoughts for you are good. Go on and read the next two verses. He says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me, and you'll find me. When you search for me, with all your heart. I just want to tell you today that God always hears you. He's talking to them in a difficult time. They've been taken into slavery. He says, but you can call on me and I'll hear you. Huh? You can seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Let's just talk about all your heart for a while. Get off the subject there a little bit, but when we talk about being after God's own heart, who do we think about? David. Huh? When we think about hear a message about being after God's heart, we always think about David. Here's what Acts 13 says about David. It says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do anything I want him to do. The Amplified says, he will do all my will and carry out my program fully. Now, I'm talking about walking and living in God's goodness. I take it for granted sometimes. You know, when I minister, I just take it for granted that I'm talking to people that love God with all their heart. I mean, I just take it for granted that I'm talking to people that really are going after Him and that really, you know, it just shocks me when I see somebody that, they backslide or they get away, and it just shocks me. Because I go from a perspective, when I look at you, I don't look at you and think of what are you doing wrong in your life and how's your life. No, when I look at you, I just think that you're living for God. I just think that you're doing what you're supposed to do. I just believe that you're as excited about God as I am. If you're not, I can't do anything to change that. You see, that's something only you and me can do. We have to start it for ourselves. And so I just assume, so you understand that when I talk, I'm just talking about people that aren't thinking about whether they're going to live for God or not. They've already made their mind up. They're going to live for God. And my ministry doesn't, I don't go after the meat and, I don't go after the meat and drink. I don't go after the do's and don'ts. I don't go after the wrong things you're doing in your life, because I can't change your character. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And that's the way God feels. He says, hey, you'll find me if you come after me with all your heart. With all your heart. See, you can't walk in all of God's goodness and live like the devil. He still loves you. But you can't walk, you can't get saved and walk in all God's goodness and still live like you did before you got saved. Are you with me? Amen. Something has to change. And so we got preachers all over the world trying to change people. And I'm sorry, I just can't change you. And you can't change me. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I can't produce fruit in your life, but the Holy Spirit can. And all you have to do is want it. And when God said, I've picked David to be the king because he's a man after my own heart, he'll do what I tell him to do. After his heart means your life's in harmony with him. After his heart means what's important to God is important to you. After his heart means what burdens him burdens you. Are you with me? See, to have a heart for God means if he says turn right, you turn right. If he tells you stop that, then you stop it. If he tells you something this is wrong, then you recognize that he's talking to you. You recognize it and you want to change it. Does that make sense? And folks, if you don't have that in you, you can't even be saved. If you don't have that want to in there, you can't even be saved. There's a lot of folks that have prayed the sinner's prayer that aren't saved. None in here. But you know, this isn't just some little formula that you say so you can get to heaven. No, this is a change of heart. See, repentance means you change your thinking. You change yourself. You change directions. Does that make sense? I want to be a man after his own heart. To be after God's heart means that I'm very sensitive to spiritual things. That's what he was talking about in 2 Chronicles 16:9, when he said the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth so that he might prove himself strong in behalf of anybody whose heart's perfect towards him. How many's ever heard that scripture? He says, I'm looking to and fro across the earth. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect, are you? I mean, my heart's not perfect. Every time I think I'm getting close, there's some stuff comes out of my heart that I go, whew, where'd that come from? Am I the only one? I'm talking to a bunch of angels here. But he said, hey, I'll come and do mighty things in your life when your heart's directed towards me, when your heart totally belongs to me. You see, that's something that happens to us no matter what level we're at with the Lord. See, I'm talking about a relationship with my God. Huh? I'm talking about a love for my God. I'm talking about something in my heart that even when I think it's the wrong thing to do, and maybe it isn't even the wrong thing to do, but it bothers me, I don't do it because I don't want anything to be between me and God. Huh? Bob Mumford said once, he said, I was telling God, God, I just want you. I want to be more like you. I just want all that you got for me. And he said, you really mean that, Bob? And he said, yes, I want everything you got. And he said, well, okay. But he said, this is the thing. He said, I never move. I never change. And you and I are incompatible. So who has to change? Well, and we're all working on that. We're all works in progress. But see, I'm just talking about the want to. I'm not talking about are you qualified, Eugene? I'm not talking about are you qualified. No, he already qualified you. I'm talking about that want to in your heart, that go after God in your heart. I want to please you, God. See, God's looking for people whose hearts are completely His. Huh? No closed closets. You know, nothing swept under the rug. You know, when you're wrong, you admit it. You know, I'm talking about a relationship with Him where we walk and we talk. You know, every once in a while, this happened to me yesterday. I'll be sitting and meditating on the Lord and talking and trying to listen and trying to figure out which voice is Him talking to me and which is mine and which is my flesh and which is my mind, because that's what I want. And you know, the same warfare you guys do. But I've learned that the more I work on that, the clearer I hear Him. I told Him one time, I said, God, I want to hear You. I want to know You. And He said, well, then you're going to have to spend more time with Me. Amen. See, I'm talking about a relationship that just goes after Him and just is, you know, talking to Him. And just, He's real in your life. He's not the man upstairs. He's part of your life. Does this make any sense? He's not looking for some great big massive spiritual giants, some specimen, big specimens of humanity. He's just looking for some simple, down to earth, humble people that are going after Him. Just some people that'll say, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I just want to do whatever You want me to do. And you know, I don't care if you go through your whole life and never know what God's will for you is. If you'll just every day say, God, I just want to live Your will out today. I just want what You want. I want to do what You've got for me to do. I want to be what You want me to be. I want to go where You want me to go. I want to have what You want me to have. I want Your will in my life. If you just say that, you might not ever mentally have it. If you say it, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you the right direction. Huh? Don't every once in a while you get to a place in your walk and you just stop and you look back and you can't believe all the things you did right? I mean, you look back and you go, well, God, I can't believe that worked out like that. I can't, because He's guiding us and He's leading us. See, He says, Hank, I don't know what to do, God. I don't know how to do it. Well, just trust Me and just love Me and just come after Me. And are you with me? See, I'm talking about that relationship. That's the relationship where then, hey, your focus is on Him. Huh? Your focus is on Him. And then He can just pile stuff on you everywhere you turn. I mean, He'll just put so much on you. He'll just bless you so much that there's not room enough to receive it, and you have to start giving it away to other people. Huh? Now, we all clap on that when we want to be the people that somebody's giving it away to, but He wants to make you the one that's giving it away. Amen. Amen. All right. He's just looking for some honest to the core people that have some integrity. Huh? The word, the Hebrew word for that's translated integrity is T-H-A-M-A-N. And some of the synonyms for that word are complete, whole, innocent, having simplicity of life, wholesome, sound, unimpaired. In other words, the Bible definition of integrity is what you do when nobody's looking. Huh? And I promise you, if you pick your nose in private, you'll end up picking it in front of other people. Well, now you won't forget that one, will you? Forget everything else I said in the message, but you won't forget that. Huh? What you do when you're by yourself, you'll end up doing it. Bible says our sins will find us out. That said, they'll be shouted from the rooftop. You know who shouts them? We do. So integrity is working on that when nobody's looking at you, when you're by yourself. Hell, I don't know about you. I got a lot of work to do. How about you? But I did quit picking my nose because I didn't. I have to wake you up every once in a while, man. See, the world philosophy is impress you. The world philosophy is, I want you to think I'm something. The world philosophy is, some of you ladies wouldn't dare come to church without all your makeup and have everything done and all the foo-foo and all the stuff. And I'm glad you do. I'm glad you do. Don't misunderstand me. Don't quit. Don't quit it. But the world's idea is, the philosophy is let me impress you. Let me make you think I'm something. Let me show you. But you know what? God doesn't like phonies. And God doesn't look on He doesn't focus on the exterior. He focuses on the character in our heart. And then He works on that. That's the gifts of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit that He makes those fruits start growing in there. And then when that starts growing in there, everything out here starts changing. See, somebody listening to me, you're trying to change the way you do things. You're trying to change your actions. You're trying to be a better person. You should want that. But you can't change yourself from the outside in. You have to change yourself from the inside out. Well, it's those inward qualities that He cares about. Well, it's about time for me to wrap it up here, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. When we enroll in His program, see, when you get saved, what you're actually supposed to be doing, you know, the Bible refers to us as the bride of Christ. What you're actually supposed to be doing is you're supposed to be giving Him your life. We ought to have a wedding ceremony sometime and go through some of that, Chris. And you know what you're supposed to do when you get married is you've given yourself to each other. I'm not myself. I'm not just. It's not me. Not my needs anymore. Now I'm looking to you. I want to help you with yours. It's not everything I want. I want to help you with what you want. How many know that'd save a lot of marriages? See, it isn't a selfish thing. And when we come to the Lord, it's the same thing. We're saying, hey, it's not me anymore. I died to myself. I'm going to live for you. It's not what I want to do anymore, God. It's what do you want me to do? You know, it's impossible to seek Him first and His kingdom and His righteousness. It's impossible to seek Him first without Him adding all that other stuff to you. It's impossible to live for the Lord and Him not bless you. Now, as I started off, we can limit how much of those blessings we have by the way we think. And so I wanted you to understand, I'm not talking about some shallow, greedy, grab, you know, blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. I'm not talking about some 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 egotistical something. I'm talking about a life with God. I'm talking about walking with God. I'm talking about living the good, living in the best that He has for you. And if I'm walking and I'm seeking Him, but at the same time I'm believing Him to do those things in my life, then they happen. Let me say something else. I'm of the persuasion that they happen anyway. But if you're not focused and not believing those to happen, you don't see them happen in your life. You ever had somebody come up to you and they were griping about this and griping about that and complaining about this and complaining about that? That's just a habit, by the way. If you're in that habit, you need to stop it. But just complain. And I had somebody come and they were just everything. I mean, it was just a crisis at every turn and just all kinds of stuff happening in their life. And they were talking and then you know, and I just, by the time they get out, I was shaking my head. I kind of wanted to wash my ears out, you know. And I just looked and I started saying, well, you know, I remember, do you remember when God did this? And I started talking about all those things they were complaining about and talking about God and what He did in them. By the time we got done, they had a whole different attitude. You see, if you're not expecting to see the things of God happen in your life, you won't see them happen. Many times they'll still happen, but you won't see them. Well, so I'm talking about selling out to God. I'm talking about selling out your life to Him, but then not settling for anything less than He has for you. Huh? I mean, hey, if there's two $20 bills, He'd just soon I have one of them. I mean, if anybody's going to get a new car, He'd just soon I get one. I mean, if anybody's going to get a new boat, Kenny, He'd just soon you get one. He won't give me one because I don't want one. But I'm getting a new car, man. It's on the way. See, I'm not talking about trying to get stuff. I'm just talking about, man, I just expect something to happen. Vanessa, He'll give you a house, won't He? I mean, you don't have to have the money to buy a house. You don't have to know how you're going to do it. All you got to do is listen and pay attention. He'll turn your life around. He'll show you how to raise those kids right. I know you don't know how you're going to put them all through college, but I promise you, go after Him, go after His heart, and by the time it's time, it'll just happen. You won't know how it happened. You just know it was God. And that's what I've learned to do with need in my life. I don't come up here and get up here and tell you guys, well, man, I'm broke this week. Could anybody help me out? No, I just go to God. I just decided a while back I'm going to smile. I'm going to smile. If I'm not smiling on the inside, I'm just going to smile on the outside anyway. I want you, if you look at me, I want you to not know if I'm happy or if I'm not happy. I just want you to know, you look at me and you say, man, He don't have any problems. Man, He doesn't ever get sick. He doesn't ever have opportunity to get sick. He never faces these things we face. I'm just going to smile, man. Because I got a God that's with me. I got a relationship with Him. And hey, listen, you know what I started praying? I started praying, Holy Spirit, teach me how to receive. I don't have to have Kenneth Copeland's formula. I don't have to have anybody else's formula. I need to talk to my Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. And I have to say, Holy Spirit, help me here, Father. Show me what to do, Holy Spirit. Oh, man. Oh, I want to read you a verse. Where is that? Let me close with Romans 8. Close with Romans 8. But do you understand what I'm saying? You need to expect. Don't get your focus on stuff. But boy, you ought to be glad and be expecting it to come. When it does come, Nate, and you get a house, you ought to just be praising God. And when it's time to get, you don't know how you're going to do it. You don't know how it's going to come together. You don't know how in the world you're going to do this, God. But I just got peace in there. I just know something's going to happen. And you know what? Something happens. Why? Because he's God. Well, what's going to happen is, I'm going to read at Romans 8 and we're going to quit. But what's going to happen is, you're going to be talking and you're going to catch yourself talking the way you don't want to talk, and you're going to say, "Whoop! No, I'm not. I'm changing that." Yeah. You're going to be praying, and in the middle of this prayer, you're going to, you know, in the middle of this crying, something's going to raise up in there like a river of living water, and it's going to raise up in there, and you're going to go, "But God, I don't have to worry about that. You're my source. You're my God, and I trust you. And it doesn't matter if I see it. It doesn't matter if I feel it. I just know that I know that I know you have good things for me, and I'm not going to settle for anything less." I'm going to talk about this in a few weeks, but you need to learn the difference whether the devil's trying to hold you back or whether God's telling you no. And if God's dealing with you, then just wait. But if it's the devil trying to put a blockade in there, you've got the authority and the power to kick him out of the way, because Jesus already whooped him. Well, close you with this thought. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? You got some things in your life today? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Things? I'm just telling you, God's for me. And you can't dominate me. And you'll not have your way in my life anymore. Things. Goes on then to say, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everybody say, things? If God was going to hold back any good thing from us, it would have been he would have held back his son. He wasn't a fool holding back a car or a house or money or anything like that. If he was going to hold back anything, he'd hold back his son. But he gave his prized possession for us. Gave everything he had. If you give Jesus for me, he sure take care of everything else in my life. If you don't like that devil, just get in my back pocket and stay there. If God's for you, who can be against you? Nobody. If God's for you, nothing can stand against you. And if you decide to walk in his goodness and have everything he has planned for you, nothing. Nothing can stop it from happening in your life, because your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Well, was that good? I need somebody to get my water, and let's stand and give God some praise. Yeah, give me some water. I'm dry. I hope everybody here, you have Jesus in your heart. But if you don't, I'm just going to ask you to come down here and let one of us pray with you. And maybe you're here today and you've never been baptized. We got somebody ready to baptize you. Maybe you're in here and you just like somebody to come and pray with you and agree with you for something. Hey, we'll be happy to do that. But if you need something, I want you to come. We're not going to take a long time. But I hope everybody in here, I hope every one of us will begin in our mind to say, God, I want to be a person after your heart. I ask you to build that integrity, that character into my heart. I want to be all for you I can be. And every one of us could raise our hand and say, well, we've fallen a little short. We could all do that. But That doesn't matter to him. Do you want to change it? That's all that matters to him. You just say, God, I want you. I want you. Look back in your life, all the messes you did and all the mess ups you created and all the things that you did wrong, and God still loves you, don't you? You're still standing. He still brought you this far, and he's going to keep bringing you. So if you need to come, come. And if not, just praise the Lord for a minute and just thank him and maybe make some fresh commitment to him right now. It'd be good. Oh, I needed that. Anybody else going to come? Anybody else going to come? How many want to have that heart we were talking about, that heart for God? Create in us, O Lord. Create in us a clean heart. Do the work inside of us, Lord, that'll cause us to be all that you want to be. It's you, God, that work in us both the will and the how-to. It's you, God, that work that into us. We can't even do what you want unless you work it in and help us do it. So, Father, I speak your goodness now into all these people. And I believe you to bless them. And I believe you to pull them into a place with you that they've never been before. Holy Spirit, draw us closer to you, closer to our Father, closer to our Lord Jesus. Draw us closer than we've ever been before. We're going to give you all the praise for it, all the glory for it. I tell God you love him. I receive all you got for me. And then be blessed, and I'll see you next time.